pardon me, if I sound like I'm going to preach, the most maligned, ridiculed, mocked, despised book on the face of the earth is the Word of God. Period. World without end. It has been attacked since Genesis chapter 3, when Satan came along and said, "Yea, hath God said." In fact, the basis of mine and your faith, folks, is this book right here. The further we drift from this book, the less faith we have. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ye are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you," Jesus Christ said. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is truth." When he was in the wilderness, he was attacked on three separate occasions, and every occasion he was attacked, he battled back the devil by quoting the Word of God. The devil hates the Word of God. You know, you could go from Genesis clear through to Revelation, and you can find where Satan has... When God made the promise to Satan, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. He's done everything he can to destroy the seed of the Word of God. "Hearken and behold, a sower went forth to sow seed. Does not Jesus explain that in Matthew chapter 13 when he says the seed is the Word of God? And even Mordecai and Haman, the situation there in Esther, that was an attack on the seed. When there came a famine in the land, and Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 resorted to Egypt, that was an attack on the seed. When he was down there, I'm of the opinion that's when he got Hagar. She was an Egyptian. I believe that while they were in that, out of the will of the Lord for the life, that's when he picked up Hagar. That's when Sarah picked up Hagar, who later on, Sarah comes to him someday and says, "We need a child. Here, take Hagar, my handmaiden." And the rest is history. They've been fighting over that ever since. But I believe that was an attack because God said, "Your seed, I will bless your seed." And the seed of Abraham was Isaac. He tried to, Cain and Abel, the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head. The first thing he does, he puts it in the heart of Cain to kill Abel. That was an attack on the seed, folks. And go through the Bible. Go through the Bible. And you'll find that when God's people left the Word of God, God's people got wicked. And that was an attack on the seed, folks. That was nothing more than an attack of Satan on the seed. And the devil, listen to me, friends, is a one friend to another. The devil wants you to doubt the Word of God. The devil wants you away from this book. He knows how important this book is. You know, 2 weeks after 9/11, when I say 9/11, you know what I'm talking about, September the 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers went down and what we call the war on radical Islam or the war on terror began. Two weeks later, I don't remember whether I heard it or read it somewhere, but some school out in California invited two Muslim clerics, that's two Muslim preachers, into the school system there to teach the Quran so that they might have a better understanding of the word of Quran. Now that just throws me for a loop. They've done everything they could to keep us out. They've done everything. They've kicked the Word of God out. They've kicked prayer out. It's no longer called Christmas break. It's called winter break. They don't call it Easter break anymore. It's spring break. Why? Satan hates the Word of God. Period. So I hear that. I read that. I don't remember what it was, whether I heard it or read it. But I just thought to myself, why don't they invite me in? Say, I'm not a gun-toting fire breather, and I'm not looking to kill somebody. I've been married to the same woman for 36 years. You don't stay married to the same woman for 36 years and it be a fluke. Amen? I must not be that mean. Either that or my wife's dumb. But I must not be that mean. I can't get rid of my boys. You know, the emptiness, what's that? I can't. But I don't want to get rid of them. You know, they had their little spells, they had their spats, they had their wanderings and things like that. When they got right with the Lord, they got right with their dad. And they wanted to be around their dad. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? I'm trying to say, I don't trust the Muslims. I don't trust them. Barack, Hussein, Obama, poor old Willie Cunningham, getting all that flat because he used Barack Hussein Obama's last name. Obama sounds a lot off like Osama. I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I guarantee you I don't trust him. But you know why I don't trust him? They hate this book. The Muslims, listen, the Muslims don't hate America because of Michael Jackson. I can prove that to you. Because where's he living? He's living in a little Middle Eastern country called Bahrain. They welcomed him with open arms. They don't hate America because of Hollywood. They hate America because this is the last bastion in this world where the Word of God could go out freely. Liberals hate the Word of God. Religionists hate the Word of God. It is the final authority. And, when I made that statement about they invited those Muslim clerics in to teach the Koran so that those poor little impressionable minds might have a better understanding. These all people are not so wicked and mean and vile as those that flew those planes. I don't trust them. You can get on the interstate, Interstate 75, go north, just north of Cincinnati, great big huge Muslim mosque. And before you get into Toledo, there's another one, only in America. They wouldn't allow that over there. You know why they invited, look at me kids, you know why they invited those Muslim clerics in to teach the Koran to those public school kids there in California? It's because they don't fear the Koran. They don't fear the Koran. Because even the unbelieving know that it's just another book. You know why they kicked this one out? They know that it's more than just another book. Period. They know it's more than just another book. Satan hated it. He's attacked it. The world, the Pharisees hate it. Religionists hate it. But the only place, said all that to say this, the only place in the Word of God where you'll find the word success is in this verse of Scripture right here. The only place. And it's in conjunction with the Word of God. And then thou shalt have good success. By doing what? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I know that even in a Bible-believing church, and I saw your sign, King James 16, KJV 16:11. And I believe that. I believe that. This is the perfectly preserved Word of God right here. Period. It's an awful weak bunch of amens out of... But I know, as sure as I'm standing in front of you this morning, there are people who have their doubts. The devil has so attacked your faith. He has so attacked you that this is just an ornament. You're almost embarrassed. I mean, you would be greatly embarrassed. I would be greatly embarrassed for someone to find out how little we truly believe the Word of God. Now you mark the words of this old preacher this morning. I guarantee you that did not come from the Lord. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's more. Job says, I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. You mark her down. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. You don't live You don't live without trouble. And the devil brings troubles upon you to cast aspersions and doubts in your minds towards the Word of God. Just living your general life, just living your life, there's going to be heartache. There's going to be disappointment. Tragedies are going to come to your life because this is a broken world and broken things happen. Why? The devil wants to do one thing, to destroy this word, destroy this seed. But God takes those troubles. When I'm tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. God takes these troubles, and He uses them for all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And takes those things, applies His promises to them, so that we have a greater faith and a greater understanding of the Word of God. Am I making myself clear this morning? Our troubles come to us either to destroy us or to make us. They come to us either to destroy our faith in the Word of God or for God to take them and build up our faith in the Word of God. You want to have success? There's only one way. And I'm not talking about health and wealth, success and prosperity. I'm talking about what the Bible has to say for us. Then thou shalt have good success. This book is so important. I just read another verse. I read a verse of Scripture just this morning, sitting right there. Every now and then I just have to go and remind myself of it. Whenever God gave me a promise, I always dated it. When the words from that page leap out into my soul and God speaks to my heart, I underline it. Now this is my new Bible, but my old Bible I had back in the room. Show you literally dozens and dozens of things that God has used and has spoken to my heart, to speak to my heart. Underline them and date them. 12 or 1/20/96. Both my boys were still young. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. In fact, I'm of the opinion this is a threefold promise to me. Have I lost anybody yet? You say, to you personally? Yeah. To you personally? Yeah. Although I know he, in the context of the Scriptures, talking to Israel, and this is a promise he's made to them, listen folks, I wrote this right. The Bible is foremost a book of wisdom and not just knowledge. Now, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. It is a book of devotion and not just a book of theology. It's first and foremost a book of devotion and not just theology. God used this passage of Scripture speak to a troubled parent's heart. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee. In fact, when God gave me this promise, a week later, the fulfillment of this promise seemed impossible. When God gave the promise, everything was going good. But a week later, my oldest boy was 18 at the time, ran away from home. You talk about a black time. You talk about a time when faith seemed not, in fact, I felt like I was operating without faith. But you know what I've learned from that? I'm trying to give you a little hope here. You know what I learned from those situations? When you just do what you're supposed to do and you go about your daily business and you go about the things that you have been commanded in the Word of God to do, even though you don't want to do them and you don't feel like you're doing them for the right reasons, I believe at that particular moment you're exercising more faith than any time else. When you do it when you don't feel like doing it, that's when you're exercising your greatest faith. And you write this down. When God starts to do something great, He always starts with something difficult. Because God has an uncanny knack of has an uncanny knack of keeping His word, and He's going to keep His word. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words that I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. I didn't see that at the time when I first read it, but God was saying, I'm not going to allow them to destroy you either. I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord. My sons, and God promised me the lives of my sons, and He's promised me the lives of my grandson. I have a grandson. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Should have skipped the kids and went straight to the grandkids. The old saying is. And every time, just the other day, I had my grandson, 7-month-old grandson, on my lap, and I held him up close to me, and I quoted this verse of Scripture in his ear. I said, God promised me your life. God promised me your life. And heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. What are you trying to say? You want success? You go by the word of God. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, Isaiah 54. And great shall be the peace of thy children. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that riseth in judgment against thee, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants, not the children, the servants of the Lord. God gives His word. I was in a revival meeting. David, we come home from that basketball game. This is really, honestly, this is not part of that message. I just got sidetracked. But I like the track I'm on. The last thing I wanted to do was drive 950 miles to my next revival meeting. My boy was gone. My life was in shambles. I thought it was the end. But I went in my car and drove off to the revival meeting with my wife. Brokenhearted. We drove for hours and never said a word. We was numb. We were brokenhearted. Got down there and still hungry for God to speak to my old troubled soul. And I grabbed my Bible, went out on the front porch of the prophet's chamber there where we were staying. You know, listen, folks, when you're in troubles like that, you don't need therapy, you need the Word of God. You don't need counseling, you need the Word of God. The name of the Lord is a high tower, and we do run into it and are safe. I didn't know any better. I just picked up my Bible and said, God, would you speak to my heart? And I'm sitting on the front porch of that prophet's chamber. And I was reading Psalm 89. In verse 20 says, I have found David. Can somebody tell me what my oldest boy's name is? What's my oldest boy's name, young girl? Right back there in the back. What's my oldest boy's name? No, I think I gave it to you. I have found David. You say, no, I don't believe that kind of stuff. You go right ahead and not believe it. I'm just going to be naive enough to believe that God was speaking to me on the front porch of that prophet's chamber, trying to speak peace and solace to my old troubled soul, and He did that day. I have found David. My servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. You know what my boy's doing this morning? With his mother sitting in the congregation. He's on a platform. You want to hear some good music? Ride my car today. He just had a new CD made. David sings the best of Twisted Sister in AC/DC. Really a blessing. And one of the songs on that CD is track number 5. Keep holding on to the promises. The first verse says, I watched this old man. He said, I watched this man. I hadn't heard. He just made the CD and he gave me a copy of it when I dropped off his mother. He said, "Here, Dad, listen to track five." The first thing he wanted me to hear was track five. He said, I'm dedicating that to you, my 31-year-old boy. He said, "I'm dedicating that track to you." He said, I watched him. I watched him climb the mountains. And I watched him fight the wars. And I asked him for his secret to success, and this is what he said. "It's not a secret, son. You just keep holding on to the promises. I have found David, my servant." When David was not a servant, God said, "I've made him my servant." When David hadn't, from all outward appearances, hadn't been anointed with holy oil, God said, "I anointed him with holy oil." What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? I'm trying to say, you want success? You find it in the Word of God. You find you some place where you can get alone with God in this book and say, "Oh God, speak to my heart. Lord, speak to my heart. Do something to my heart. Speak to my heart." Has that done anything for anybody this morning? Sure enough, it has for me. I think you need a new door somewhere? I think I'll make you one. Just run through it, through the wall there. Praise the Lord. "And then thou shalt have good success." Brother Leakley looked at me like that. "We make a new door." "A new door?" You can tell he's a Yankee. He don't know what it's mean. He doesn't know what it's like to have a Baptist-costal spell. If I'd have thought in advance, if I had too little, and then we'll get down to the, I've got 11 points and I've got 7 minutes to give them to you, and I will do it. If I had two identical containers, two identical looking jars, and I put salt in one and sugar in the other, would you tell by looking at the one which was what? Well, you have a 50-50 chance to make the right guess, right? But from all outward appearances, they all look the same. Seriously, folks, from all outward appearances, the salt and sugar all look the same. You put the same amount in each jar, you have the same identical jar. But you know the best way to figure out which one is what? Taste it. You know the best way to find out with the Word of God is the Word of God? Taste it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You watch God move heaven and earth to keep His Word. You want success? Why is the Word of God so wonderful? It's preeminent. "For thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name." It's promising. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of His divine nature." What a wonderful book! The more this book we read, the more like Jesus we become. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of His divine nature." The reason why Christianity today in 2008 is less like Jesus Christ is because they've used the Word of God less. Period. The reason why this country is in the shape that it is in is because over the years we have drifted away from the Word of God. We're less like Jesus because we read His book less. It's preserved. The words of the Lord are preserved. As silver tried in earthen furnaces seven times. It's preserved. It's powerful. Hebrews 4:12, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." As I said before, they allow the Quran to come into these public schools. They allow these Muslim clerics to come in because they know there's no power in it. They won't allow this book to come in there because this book is an affront to their authority. This book is a reminder of their wickedness. This book is a reminder that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're nothing but peasants and slaves. And the scribes and Pharisees, they showed their heart when they said, "We will not have this man reign over us." That's why they hated him. He was an affront to their authority. It's quick and powerful. It is pure. has purified seven times in earthen furnaces. It's pure. You'll not find. Listen to me, folks. Search all you want. And one of the things I like to tell the teenagers and the young people when they come to camp, they've had over 2,000 years to disprove this book, and they haven't done it yet. They have not done it yet, kids. 2,000 years. Listen, if there were mistakes and this is a flawed book, they'd have found them a long time ago because they hate this book. They've gone through this book with a fine-tooth comb. They've put it under the microscope. They stacked it up in piles and burnt them, but it still stands. Not going to find mistakes in that book. Anything that would appear to be a mistake can be clarified. One of the mistakes that Life magazine said, 1,001 mistakes found in the Word of God. The book of Proverbs, you know, Life magazine doesn't exist anymore. And if it does, it exists because Time Warner has propped it up. 1964, God is dead, and 1,001 mistakes found in the Word of God. You know, Life magazine, yeah, as if they were an authority on anything. No success. One of the mistakes they said was in the Word of God. Was where in one verse it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Answer not a fool according to his folly. And the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. Now that sounds like a contradiction. But what that really means is sometimes you ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer. Sometimes you ask a stupid question, it doesn't deserve an answer, you just ignore them. There are no mistakes in this book. There are no mistakes in this book. They've had 2,000 years, kids, to prove it wrong. They haven't done it. It still stands because it's powerful. It's pure. It's profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is a protector. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, that I might not sin against thee. This book will keep you from sin. It is a pathfinder. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is a peace giver. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. People get. I was preaching up in Warren, Ohio, a long time ago, probably 10 years ago. I was preaching up in Warren, Ohio. First time I'd ever been in the church. I knew the pastor from another church, but the first time I'd ever been in the church was that Sunday morning. And I'm just preaching away. I don't know to do it any other way. I just preach. I just sling some out over the first three or four rows. You supply your own towels. And I'm just preaching away, and this guy's sitting on the front row. I wouldn't have known him from Adam. Don't know him. In fact, the first and only time I ever saw him was then. Because he never showed up the rest of the week. I tell the truth, and he had a suit and tie on. I thought, this is one of the pillars of the church. He's more like a caterpillar. He's crawling in and out. Amen. There was said, and the first and only time I ever saw him was Sunday morning. Later on in the week, Brother Dave says, I said, well, that guy sitting on the front row, he have to work second shift or something? Oh, no, you made him mad. And I said, I made him mad. He said, yeah. You were preaching right at him the whole time. I thought to myself, isn't that the height? Listen to me. Isn't that the height of arrogance and pride to think that I drove 350 miles just to preach to him? You talk about being self-centered. That guy thought, he came just for me. Great peace have they that love thy law. Now that's not an illustration. That actually happened to me. Jay Burke thought I drove all that way just to give him down the road. Well, God may have had me drive 350 miles to give him down the road, but I didn't do it on purpose. Amen. It is a peace giver. It is a prolonger of life. For length of days and long life. My son, forget not my law. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. It is a provider of life, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book. And when you find yourself drifting, go back to the book. When your soul and life is under attack, go to the book. It is what will give you the life-giving, sustaining help you and I need. Two young boys that graduated from high school And they were going to go. They had made all their plans. They're going to go on a world tour. They're going to work their way around the world. Work on cattle ships and work on this and go here and work around. They were going to work around the world. They'd already had it planned out. They already had their first job. It was going to take them to Europe. As two young boys just out of high school, going to spend at least a year working around the world. See the world before they settle down and go off to school and do all the things that they were going to do that requires life. Young boy come, hey buddy, I'm here, hurry it up. He said, I'll be down in a minute. Paced backwards and forwards. The young man did. Stood at the foot of the steps and said, hurry it up, we're going to miss our ship. I'm hurrying. I've got to get my favorite sword and I've got to get my favorite book of poems and I'm putting my favorite songbook and I'm putting my collection of historical books and I'm doing all these things. And he come running up the stairs and says, you don't have enough room to put all that stuff, take it all around the world. And just as he said that, he was putting his Bible on top of his shirt. He said, I got all the room I need. I have all the room I need. My favorite telescope, my favorite magnifying scope, my favorite weapon, I put my favorite hammer. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? You can't, as a Christian, live without the Word of God. Cannot do it. Period. That's not the words of a preacher. That's the Word. You can't live without it. An obvious fact of life, an undeniable fact of life. You want success? You have to get into the book, the Word of God. Father in heaven, thank you for the liberty. Thank you for stirring my own soul. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.